Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
I hope if you had it on your heart that you got it out. It's certainly just a joy to be back and to be in fellowship, and I hope your heart is right with God today. John chapter number 3 is where our text will come from today, and we desire your prayers. We just want to be obedient to God. Let me say this. If you've got a need today and you need to use this altar, come on, right? Here's what I can assure you. I'm going to take my chances. I'll be right there with you. So if you've got a need, the altar is open. All right? I believe there's power for everything that we need. And I'm going to trust that you'll obey God today. let me say this. There's folks in this world, I realize, that don't believe in God. And there's a lot of folks. And certainly as you go into other cultures and all around even our own country, you'll find folks that simply don't believe there is a God. And if they do believe there's a God, there's some that simply believe that he looks down from on high and just passes judgment, right? That somehow God is always angry and upset. And but that's not the God that I know. And let me be clear, I know him. That's not God. You have a false understanding of who the Father truly is and what his Son has done. And I want to share with you today a scripture from the Word of God. John chapter number 3. I'm going to begin at verse number 16 and read down through verse 19. John chapter number 3, starting at verse number 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Lord, we pray that you'd open your word to our hearts, and Lord, may our hearts be open to your word. May we receive it now, and may this word grow in us as faith. For those that hear it for the first time with ears of faith and hearts that can receive, we pray that this word bring to them the light, the very thing that will show them your truth. We ask it earnestly as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach to you today on condemnation. The title itself, if we just left it at that, you might be a bit ill when we just think of the term condemnation. But by definition, condemnation is simply the action of condemning someone to a sentence. And I think it's clear in the passage that we read to you today that when Jesus came, he didn't come to condemn. Now, let me be clear. Jesus does not have to condemn. That has already been done. It was done when Adam failed in the garden.
Amen.
the condemnation that Adam received and Eve received in the Garden of Gethsemane was final, and it was passed on to every human born afterwards. The condemnation, the sentence of death. What God told Adam was, is if you eat of this tree, if you eat its fruit, you shall surely die. There was the warning, right? There was the law, a single law that man was responsible for keeping, and we did not keep it. And from that came the sentence. Now, the sentence was given before the law was ever broken, right? So it wasn't that God had to come up with something to punish man. That wasn't the intent. The intent was is to declare what the law was, what the truth was. And in doing that, he also warned them that with every violation, that there is a consequence. Now, that's true regardless of who you are or where you're from. We can't just live any way that we want to and expect that everything turns out just as we ask. You see, decisions have consequences. Every action that we have or that we do has a reaction. There's something that is tied to our lives and how we live. But I want you to be clear that if you don't remember anything about what happened this morning, that when you leave today, you understand that Christ did not come to condemn you. He came to save you from the condemnation you already have.
Amen.
Now that changes everything, doesn't it? Right? If suddenly the perspective of what Jesus did was not to condemn man, but actually to save man, then suddenly we see God not as some angry lawgiver, but we see him as a benevolent and loving Father who wants to deliver us from the condemnation that we are already under. Here's what I know. When he found me lost. I wasn't found. When he found me, I was sick. I was not whole. I needed a Savior. I didn't need a judge. I have already been judged. My sin is what has condemned me. You can point at somebody else, but it's not their sin that you're dying for. Ultimately, it's yours. You say, well, it was the sin of Adam and Eve. No, that was just the first one. There is none among us that is without sin.
Right, amen.
The Bible hath concluded that all are under sin, so that he might also save all who will believe. Jesus did not come to condemn the world. He came to save it. And that certainly, for those that are unbelievers today, should be a truth worth following. If what he did was to send a way for us to be redeemed, a way for us to be reconciled unto God, those of us who have been exiled from God by our own sin, Jesus has come to save us from ourselves. We're already condemned. Let me read this verse again. Verse number 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. That's good news. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of his Son. A lot of folks look at religion as being just another form of condemnation. Listen, condemnation has already come to those who are unbelievers. I don't have to work at being condemned. I am condemned already. What I need is to be set free. What I needed was to be made whole. What I needed was to be saved by God through his Son. I needed to be saved from the condemnation that was already there. There's a difference between condemnation and conviction. And some get that confused. And when we feel that conviction in our life from having done something we shouldn't do, I want you to know that conviction is necessary. It is healthy. Conviction is something that should occur in the child of God when they have done wrong. There should be something that is in us that tells us that that is wrong, that it reminds us, right? You know what it feels like to sit in a pew and the word of God come to you and you know that it's speaking to you. You know that the word has revealed in your heart, right? Nobody else knows it, but you hear it. You hear God speaking to you, the word of God speaking to you, and it begins to reveal unto us our sin. And when we feel that sin, right, we feel that weight of it. We feel that fear that comes with knowing that we're against God, that we're not with God, that we have failed God and we need to repent. And when we feel that, it's often conviction, and that conviction brings us to the place where we can repent. But as the sisters already said this morning, what a relief when we come to God and in that conviction we are able to say with a broken heart, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Forgive me. And every time God forgives and he trades that conviction, he moves that out of our lives and peace fills our soul. What a wondrous thing as we prove over and over that God didn't come to condemn me. He came to set me free. When I feel the conviction of having sinned against God, listen, it's not God condemning me. It's God reminding me that I no longer live that way, that there is something in me that is greater than this world, that there is still a responsibility to live right, to live holy. And when Jesus moves in, brother, everything else should move out. Conviction is not condemnation. People are convicted over all kinds of evil and sin and things that we didn't do and should have done. There's all kinds of sin when you think about it. According to the Word of God, everything that isn't of faith is sin. Everything that is a violation of the law of God is sin. And these are all things that the Lord has given us to open our own heart to this truth. He didn't come to condemn us. He came to save us. Let me give you a couple of examples in the Word as I remind you of Noah and the flood. Now, when the Bible said God spoke to Noah, the Scripture said that he had searched the heart of every man, and the heart of every man was continually evil. Now, I hate to think about it, but we may be near that today, with the exception that there are some that have believed in Christ, and there is a church now where there were just 8 then. But the Scripture said that God told Noah, he said, I'm going to send a flood and I am going to destroy every living thing on this earth. And the Bible said that Noah, he responded and he believed in faith and he built that ark. And in the end, he had all of his family on that ark, 8 people. But here's what I want you to know. For 120 years as he was building that, he was inviting everybody to get on board.
Right, amen.
Now, God has a responsibility, I understand. And he has a right as creator of all things. And when men turn against the holy things of God and live in their own wickedness, should we not expect that there should be and will be judgment? Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely. But may I challenge you today that when God judged the old world and destroyed it in a flood, did he have grace?
Yes. Amen.
There was a boat.
Right. Amen.
You can point at God and be angry at God and think that God is somehow trying to condemn you. But even when he declared his judgment upon this world, he made a way of escape. Why would God do that? Because he loves you, friend. It's not his will, according to the Scripture, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Even in the destruction of the world as we know it, as God destroyed it in a flood because of its sin and its evil, God had made a way for you to be saved. Sodom and Gomorrah was evil. Evil. We read the description of what Lot and his family
had become accustomed to by living in that wicked city. And God came, or as he sent his angels to do that work in Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, should we not tell Abram? And they did. He went and told Abraham, said, we're going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. The cry from that city has gone up unto God. The evil that had brought the blood of the innocent up unto God. He said, it has gone up unto God. And he said, we are going to destroy that city. And you'll remember that Abraham began to plead with God. He said, if there's 50 in that city, will you spare it? And you know what God said? Abraham, he said, what if there's just 45? God said, yep, I'll spare it. He said, don't be upset, God, but what if there's just 40? He said, I'll spare it. He went right on down to 30. He said, God, what if there's just 5? Would you spare it? And you know what the Lord said, Jay? Don't say that God is angry and somehow wants to punish or destroy mankind.
Yeah, bless him.
It is the opposite of this.
Amen.
God is trying to save mankind from the condemnation that we are already under. God is not trying to place condemnation on us. You're already under that condemnation. What he's trying to do is to save you. They literally drug Sodom, Lot, his wife and his two daughters out of the city. The angels drug them out of the city. There wasn't 5 there. And to be truthful, the 4 that left the city were not righteous. But God got them out. You know why he got them out? Somebody's praying for him. Somebody cared for his soul. And you see, that prayer alone had weight and had an effect with God. And God sent his own men into that city, the angels of God. And they led by the hand. They pulled with each hand Lot and his daughters out of there and his wife. I want you to know that God is proven in every time. When the judgment of God has come, when condemnation of man's own sin has brought them to the end, God has always been there to make a way of escape.
Amen.
Condemnation, you see, is not something that God has to do. No, the condemnation is what we received when we chose to live our own way, to do our own thing. The scripture's clear. The Bible said in 2 Peter chapter 2, he said this, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing. Let me be clear. You say, what is the will of God concerning the sinner?
Right.
That's what he said. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
Let me be clear. This bothers some people. But let me be clear. God wants the drug addict to be saved. God wants the whoremonger, the adulterer. God wants all of them to be saved. It is not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Tell me how he is an evil or an angry God. In that everything he's doing and everything he done, he sent his only begotten son to be killed, suffer for you and me. He has done everything he can to save us. everything he does is not because he's angry with us or that he despises man or that he wants to condemn man or destroy man. Let me be clear. The only reason the sun still came up this morning, Jay, is because he loves you.
Amen.
He wants yours to be saved. He wants them to be saved more than you will ever want them to be saved.
Amen.
You wouldn't send one of your own not to save one person. But he sent his only begotten son so that they might live, because they're condemned already. Now this is the condemnation. Jesus was clear with this truth. He said, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men loved darkness more than light. How can you blame God for that?
Right. Amen.
Whose fault is that?
Right.
The condemnation that lies upon mankind is not God's fault. God sent the light into the world. Who rejected it? And why did you reject it? Because you loved darkness more than light. Because your deeds were evil. You see, nobody that lives in sin is all fire hungry to go and be holy all of a sudden. I tell you how that happens. It's the mercy of God that brings conviction in your own life and a grace that draws you to the power of His mercy and forgiveness. That's how you ever get saved. I want you to know, I didn't come to church that night to get saved. I wasn't hunting for God when He found me. He came to me. I wasn't somehow out there groping, trying to figure out the things of life and understand how it is that I can be a better person. No, He came to me.
Amen.
How can we then turn and say that God is angry? That God is just a God of judgment, intent on making people... Let me tell you something. Everything that I read about God is a God that is willing to save.
Yeah, amen.
He wants to save. Let me close with this. We see God's perspective on mercy and grace, but what was Jesus' perspective? The Bible said in John chapter 8 that they'd caught a woman in the very act of adultery.
Right.
She was a sinner. There was no question about that. She was a sinner. And they brought the woman and cast her at His feet. Now, they knew the law of Moses. They knew what the law said. You see, because here's where the... Hear me now. What they thought, Sam, was that the law itself was the condemnation. The law is not the condemnation. It has no power to condemn. It's simply the rule. And it is the rule that is set for our own safety and good. Right? I can tell you, adultery, there'll never ever be anything good come out of it. The rule is set for our safety and our own good. Just like all the others. And yet somehow some people think that it's the law that condemns us. It's not the law. It's our love for the evil that violates the law. They threw her at His feet and they said, Moses' law says that she should be stoned. What do you say? Now Jesus knew the law. Jesus made the law. He knew this woman. He knew her sin. He knew everything that was wrong with her. She was caught in the very act. There was no need for any more trial. She was ready to be sentenced. And yet what did Jesus do? The Bible said He knelt down and began to write on the ground. And as they continued to talk to Him and ask Him, what are you going to do with this woman? The Bible said He stood up and He said, you that are without sin, cast the first stone. And evidently he said it with a voice of authority, because it convicted every one of them. And one by one, from the oldest to the youngest, they began to drop their rocks. And as he knelt down and wrote some more on the ground, they all left. Now, if God's intent was to destroy you, if God's intent was to take you to hell, to make your life miserable somehow, if God's intent was to be against you, why did Jesus bother? Right? He said he came to do the will of who? And yet here he looks at this guilty woman. Now, we're not even going to get on the man that was involved, right? He was just as guilty. But the guilty woman, the Bible said he looked around and he looked at her. And he said, woman, he said, where are those thine accusers? Right? Ultimately, he was saying, all of those that were accusing you, where are they now? He said, does no man condemn you? Where are all those? You know what I found who the condemners were? Wasn't him. It was her own kind. That's who the condemners were. That's who wanted to condemn them. May I say to you today, that's not changed. Man wants to condemn man. And has no more ability to judge or discern right or the heart of another man than any other. And we find ourselves that we are the ones bringing condemnation. It's not God. It's not God. He said, where are your accusers? Does no man condemn thee? He asked her two questions. And she simply said, no man, Lord. As she also looked around and noticed that they had all gone, she said, no man condemns me now. But Jesus was still there. He had every right and could have been justified in condemning the woman. And yet what he said to her was, is neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Right? He didn't say, we're going to change the law for you. No, the law was still in effect. It was still perfect. There wasn't anything wrong with the law. But he told the woman, you have violated the law, but I didn't come to condemn you. I come to save you. I come to do what the Father's will was, and that was to save man from their own condemnation. Their own condemnation. Jesus, as he hung on the cross, there was two thieves right beside him. And according to one of the writers, they both railed on him at one point. They both badgered him. They both harassed him as they hung in their own pain and shame. They hung there and they harassed Jesus. But something happened to one of them. There was something went on the cross that started affecting that old boy on the right side. The Bible said that suddenly he hearing the other one rail on him that last time, he said, hey, do you not fear God? Something happened to him, Alfred. There was some conviction, you see. Began to deal with this man on the cross while he suffered beside the Holy One. He realized that he deserved what he was getting. But the man in the middle had done nothing wrong. He told the fellow, he said, do you not fear God? He said, we're getting what we deserve. He said, but this man had done nothing wrong. And he looked at Jesus and he said, Lord, he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's all he had, was a little hope that this man in the middle wouldn't condemn him, but would save him. Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Even on the cross. Even to one who just moments before was ridiculing him, saying, if you're the Christ, come down and take us with you. Even on the cross, the purpose of Christ was not to condemn, but to save. You don't think he's willing to save? His very last action on earth was saving the man beside him. Today, he said, you'll be with me in paradise. You believe. And here's what the scripture says as we go back to it. This is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world and that the world received it not, because it loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So Jesus, as we close, come get a song if you would. In John chapter number 8, verse number 11, Jesus' words to the woman was, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. But let me read to you verse number 12, okay? We're still talking about the same one, talking about the same Jesus. He said, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. And then in verse number 12, he said this, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light. And then that what John 3:19 said? He said, this is the condemnation that has come. That the light has come into the world and that men refused the light. Here's what Jesus said. Having just freed this woman, having just proven that he didn't come to condemn her, he came to save her. He says these words. He said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And John 3:19 confirms even this truth, that light is coming to the world. You say, preacher, how do I know when it's time for me to be saved? Let me tell you something. If you're sitting in a dark room and somebody turns the light on, do you think you'll know it? As long as you're not blind, you'll know it. When it comes time and that conviction rests on your heart, I'm telling you, the light of Christ will be the only thing there. It will be the only means of salvation. It will be the only choice you have. And you'll either believe or you will reject the light. The Apostle John said it like this. He said, this then is the message we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. I'm not sure what your perception is of Christ, but here's what I can tell you. He's not against you. Everything he's done is to prove to you that he's trying to save you from the condemnation you're already in. He's not trying to condemn you. Not trying to condemn you. You're condemned already. One old saying goes like this. We'll stand before him and say amen to our own condemnation. And the reason is because we have rejected Jesus Christ. You see, that's why men ultimately will be sentenced to hell. That's why when they depart from this world lost and undone, they go right into that pit where there is no relief. You say, why? Because God condemned them to hell. No. No, they made that choice. It's not his will that any should perish. That's what we know about God, is it's not his will you go to hell. He did everything he could do to the extent he sent his very son to suffer in your place. No, if you go to hell, you will have chose that yourself. You're condemned already without Christ. Everything he's done is because he loves you. Well, according to the scripture, the Bible said hell was made for the devil and his angels. You're neither. So if you go to hell, you wasn't meant to. It's because you chose. You chose darkness rather than light. You chose. Man's condemned already. What God has done is to send a remedy for that condemnation. Don't blame God. He's trying to rescue you. As we stand, I don't know your heart today, but if you need to be saved, you better come on. You better heed the warning, the call of God for your own soul.